you were around the mark. You got away with a race early, and you were around the mark in a few others there yesterday.
Yeah, they ran well, didn't they? It was pretty good, the track, and although the day started very, very cold and windy with some showers and threatening to rain a fair bit, it ended up a pretty good day in the end.
Mm. James, will you be here today, or will you go to Doomben for Osborne Bulls?
No, I'm gonna fly up to Brisbane, and we've got two nice chances there with Osborne Bulls and Maltaja. But Dazza and Jill and the guys will be pretty busy at Scone with a few runners there and some nice chances as well.
Well, big team at Scone, but just on Osborne Bulls, blinkers go on, lovely barrier. Will you try and sort of settle front half and maybe stalk Nature Strip a bit?
Oh, I don't know, Ray. You know, this was finally a 1,200-metre race for him, this preparation, with plenty of pace on and hopefully the opportunity to get to the outside, so... I'm personally a little bit guarded about wanting to ride this horse out of his comfort zone, given that he's going to get things run to suit in that fashion. We've got the blinkers going on in this race, and the arch nemesis, according to the market, has the earmuffs going on. So it's a fascinating duel between those two horses if you take all the other opposition out. The fast, fierce, 1,000-metre type horse, Nature Strip, is being toned down, and our horse, Osborne Bulls, who knows nothing but to savage the line, is getting the blinkers to go on to help him tactically, perhaps, and be able to go through his gears that little bit quicker to get there. So from that perspective, don't you think it's quite a fascinating duel between those two?
Oh, it is. Mm. Oh, it is. I'll
tell you one other thing about those two horses. The board that had the slot for the Everest last year had Nature Strip all lined up until he failed in the Moya, which disqualified him from the Everest, and the horse that filled the breaches was Osborne Bulls in the end. So they've got
the ATC slot, wasn't it?
Yeah, they've got to be watching this race with a fair bit of interest, I'd imagine.
Well, actually, ATC, so I'm sure a lot of people are reading the Everest because these two horses are definitely in the mix.
I want James to come on and do the full Brisbane preview at 9:30. The way you went through that, James, sounds like you've done all the form on one race. We were discussing it yesterday that, you know, Nature Strip and I'm a Rip are going to put the pace on, and you well explained what you want to do with Osborne Bulls, but you've got to be close enough, haven't you? You've got to rely on a good ride here.
Well, I know you want me to be closer, and I know everybody that is an Osborne Bulls fan would love to see him a few lengths closer, but I just personally would hate to see a scenario where Osborne Bulls was finally in a race in a big group one like this that he could win if he was in his comfort zone, and if we try to draw him out of it, that it could bring us undone. But Karen has, I suppose, the first right of refusal to how he wants to ride the horse, because he's the jockey engaged, and we'll put a lot of faith in how he feels it from the seat and what he wants to do exactly. But I got asked by Michael Feldgate on the radio on air yesterday that Osborne Bulls, was he a much maligned horse? Andrew, do you think he's a much maligned horse?
No,
much admired horse.
Yeah, I love it because he always puts in. Like he never
runs a bad race.
You can't win. Like you'd love to have Winks and win every Group One that you go in, but they are bloody hard to win. Yeah. You know, like he presents himself there, Ray, every time.
And his racing pattern, James. To be fair, he does need a few things to go his way. The fact that he's only been out of the first three once in his career shows how good he is.
I wouldn't mind owning him.
Yeah, terrific horse. Good luck with Osborne Bulls today in Doomben, and also Maltaja in the
We better get to today here at Scone, otherwise you'll be still here when the planes get in the board.
One of the highlight clashes is the Woodland Stakes, where James takes on his dad. We've got Deva Chan, who's coming off an improving Newcastle win, but taking on your father's boom filly Libertini, James.
Yeah, it looks like we're running for second there. But a little bit of black type for our Exceed and Excel filly would be lovely. She sets up really nicely, third up, with the win at Newcastle, providing her with the necessary confidence. And the 900-metre test was important for her to learn to switch off in the middle stages. She's a filly that has to get it right the first half. She went out She went out to cross to a long lead on debut last year and was just gunned down by Girls Are Ready on a wet track. And when she returned this prep, she just wouldn't quite settle from that awkward alley, being beaten five lengths by Deep Sea, who's since ran well, as you know, up in Brisbane in a stakes race. Mm-hmm. So getting it right there at Newcastle against her, but gee, you had to be impressed with the win of Libertini, and that's subsequently why we're going to be going around at 10-1, I think. So hopefully we're good enough to from a nice draw to be getting up to run well.
Yeah, fair enough. In race four, James Wagner, he ran up to 1,300 metres at the Hawkesbury standalone. You rode him on pace that day. Goes back to 1,100 metres where, to be fair, the horse's record is excellent. Will you ride him sort of a bit more off speed here at the shorter trip?
Yeah, I think so, Ray. Look, we didn't exactly want to be in the lead that day, but he just really pinged the lids with the slight gear change and the winkers being reapplied. I think about 1,100, 1,200, he's probably a superior horse than he is at 1,300 as well. So relying on the Signor Fox form to be good form and back in distance on a big track with a bit of pressure on, I can't see how that's a negative. My only query with him is going to the well 2 weeks later, whether that's a little too soon. But I shouldn't be too concerned about that because I'm sure his second win in a race did come from a two week gap, and I've just got it in my mind that he's gone so well fresh in three first up attempts.
Fair enough. How's Gong's coming up for a very competitive Denise's Joy Stakes?
Look, we've tried to have a nice and forward. We wanted to make an impression with her in a stakes race like this early on. She's a dawn approach filly that is already Group 2 placed in the Silver Slipper, but if she can get a foothold back into the stakes racing at the latter part of her three-year-old year, then I think that we might be able to get close to achieving a stakes win. She's won a good amount of money in stakes. She went to the paddock off two nice runs at the end of last campaign, and hopefully this is her time of year. But lots of respect for Pretty in Pink, who's won at the track, won the two-year-old race 12 months ago in style, and Prophet's done well. You know, had to be impressed with her win in the Fireball earlier this campaign. If she's right, you know, those two fillies are going to be pretty hard to beat.
Yeah, deep race, as most of these features are today. In the Luskin Star, James, you've got Trekking coming off that tremendous Hallmark Stakes win, which, to be fair, looks to be a really strong form race. Resin, you could have run in the Dark Jewel Classic. You've chosen to go to the Luskin Star, and Intuition, his horse's confidence is right up. Three good chances here.
Yeah, the horse Trekking is in great form. We've held him back for the opportunity to get some dry tracks, and he would have been ready to fire in a few nice listed races and Group 3s during the Autumn Carnival, but after trying him once on those wet tracks, I wasn't enthused about going again. And now he's going to get his second dry track in a row, so he looks like from a nice barrier. And the feedback from the track yesterday, which the jockeys were raving about. I heard you had Bernie Evans on here earlier, give it another good rap. There's a good track again. So he's going to get conditions to suit. He's in a race here with top weight, though. This is the same race that Osborne Bulls won 12 months ago. But Osborne Bulls won this race on the limit. It was his first stakes victory. Trekking's already got a couple of stakes races under his belt. So he's going to have to do it the hard way, carrying the weight turnaround from horses like Redouble and Brave Song, who ran on very strongly against him last time. He's in their favour, not his. So he needs to go ahead to win. Resin, I kept for the 1,300 because I thought that extra half furlong of the 1,400 might just be a bridge too far for her in one big step. I know she did run well at 7 during the Melbourne Carnival last year, but I had her on a quick backup that time and just a little different gear. With a gap between runs, so she can run well, and didn't quite get a preferred soft track, but nevertheless we're very pleased with her. And Intuition, he's built up a great record. I love the win at Hawkesbury, but it's probably got to go down as the ride of the year at Hawkesbury of all time, maybe even of all time. I said to Rachel King, it's not often that you've got to be pretty chuffed walking back past the boys' jockey's room to have outridden James McDonald there, and I think she was.
on tactical advantage. Yeah. What about Rachel yesterday on 101 Boulder in the last? Mm. She's riding so well. In the dark, in the Dark Jewel Classic, James Savatiano, haven't seen her for a month since the fifth in the Sapphire, has drawn a little awkwardly. Organza, gee, she's trialling well. She resumes here in the Dark Jewel.
Yeah, so Savatiano, first of all, is our more obvious one, and she had the good grounding this preparation, and I think she'll be strong again. Princess Posh has been a little bit of a nemesis filly for her. Just when she looked like winning a couple of races at Newcastle, that horse has come along and knocked her off. But I think we could expect Savatiano to go forward, having taken the strength of a fast run 1200 last time behind White Moss, and I think she's capable of running a strong race and being very competitive with the best of the year. And Organza, yeah, I think you're right. I think she's not the worst little sneaky chance here. She's trialled up nicely. I love the way she savaged the line in her first trial. And we didn't want to do too much with her on Monday, given that it was so close to this race. And it could be a bit of a target race for a mare who was a bit unlucky not to grab some black type when she finished fourth in the Belle of the Turf in the Group 3 back in December last year.
Yeah, Savatiano, I'll remember that one. Down to the last of the 2 days here at Scone is the Hortensia Stakes, and it's almost race of the day. It's the Viridine v Victorum clash, and, gee, opinions are evenly divided, but Viridine has got the race fitness, and James comes out of that strong form race, the hallmark.
He's really flying, Ray. I think he can be back in the winner's circle in a race like this. We're delighted with the way he's going. He had the three runs as a gelding back now, and apart from the blip on the mat there on the heavy track on Slipper Day of the Galaxy, he's run a very solid third over 1,000 metres away for age, and a slightly unlucky, more than a little unlucky fourth in the hallmark, which is going to be the right form for the Luskin Star earlier in the day, you'd imagine. And on account of that, I think that at the weights, back in a handicap, with a fast 1,100. He's really going to be hitting the line well, and the broad, reachy track at Scone is going to really help his chances to come from well off the pace.
Well, you should have seen Uncle Ray here when you really pumped up Viridine early on, because he's made it the XXX in the paper. I'm really happy with that, weren't you, Ray?
Go you good thing,
Viridine. All right, mate, a comprehensive report there for our listeners. Good luck with them all, and particularly in Brisbane with the big Group 1.
Thanks, guys. Before I go, Andrew, what did you think of the relegation in the Kentucky Derby last weekend?
Oh, well, we're bringing up a hornet's nest here. Have the stewards come out and said anything more from that reading?
No, but the owners have. The owners are going to go back and try and appeal it now, even though they're told that.
But they've already come out and said they're not going to run in the Preakness.
But they're going to go to the civil courts now.
Coming on the show this morning?
I don't know whether it's Mark or Shane Cullen. I mean, I'm trying to confirm that now. But, gee, if it happened here, there would be hell to pay.
Oh.
So I scoured over the rule again, the protest rule that we have here, and I discovered that it is within our rights as the nominators of a horse to suggest that a horse could be disqualified for interference in Australia. Have you ever seen that happen?
No.
Not for that sort of interference. And the interpretation of the rule is very different here, James. The stewards must be satisfied that the horse, as you know, that was interfered with would have finished in front of the horse that caused the interference. Now, in the Kentucky Derby case, there's no way in the world anything would have beaten Maximum Security.
That's
where the interpretation of the rule is so vastly different and why it causes so much controversy.
I can't believe just how the anger. I was talking to Joe Pride on Sunday morning, and Joe said, did you see the Kentucky Derby? You know,
it probably cost those owners $10, $20, $30 million.
Millions of dollars. Let's hope it doesn't happen today. Thanks a lot, James.
For sure. Thanks, guys.